Going to have a baby?
I wiped a tear with the cuff of my sweater. Yeah, honey. We are. Any doubts about how he might react were tossed to the wind. I let out a little cry as Theo enveloped me in his strong embrace, lifted me, spun me around, and when he kissed me, the salt tears I tasted weren't mine. I insisted that we see his parents immediately. It didn't feel right to spend one more second together and not explain to Beverly about us. I'm nervous, I said, as we drove to the house. I think she's afraid her memories of Jonah and I together don't mean what she thought they did. And we're having a baby. She's going to feel ambushed. Theo nodded, preoccupied with his own thoughts. I took his hand, pried it off the steering wheel. Your dad's going to be proud of you. How can he not?
He'll find a way.
You're not thinking about the baby? Maybe that it's too soon or interfering with your plans? Theo stared at me aghast.
God, Case, no. I'm so happy that you are... that we are...
We'd come to a red light, and he turned in his seat.
I love you.
I love you too, but...
No, I mean, I love you, and that's it. I love you. I love you however you are, no strings or conditions. I love you, and that's it. Okay?
I bit back a smile. Okay. Twilight had just begun to fall when we arrived. Beverly opened the door, a careful, guarded look on her face.
Hey, Ma,
Theo said. Theo, dear. She opened the door wider, and we stepped inside. Would you care for something to drink? She asked, moving through the living room toward the kitchen. Tea, Casey? I have chamomile. No, thank you. We took a seat on the couch. Beverly sat in her overstuffed recliner, her hands in her lap.
Where's Dad?
Theo asked. Beverly sighed. He's at the office. Theo's jaw stiffened.
I told him to meet us here. That we wanted to talk to both of you.
I know, dear. He heard from someone at the planning commission downtown what you had done. About buying the two shops. Theo stood up.
He heard from... He can't even hear it from me.
Teddy, sit down, I said softly, even though my heart broke for him. I knew that pain that twisted his features. The futility of it. I'm sorry, dear, Beverly said. He's so stuck in his ways. He thinks you're a tremendous artist. I know he does, but...
But he hates tattoos, and so that's it. My entire life, my career, my fucking dream is just something he can walk away from.
Theo sat and covered his eyes with one hand, sucked in a steadying breath.
Sorry, Ma. I shouldn't take it out on you.
He looked to me.
You tell her. I have to get outside, take a walk.
I rose to my feet and held him, kissed him. Come back soon. Love you.
Love you too.
He turned and walked out, slamming the door behind him. The house rattled from the force. Then Beverly and I sat in the silence that followed. You're in love, she said finally. Is that what you came to tell me? I nodded. Yes. I see. She wore a sad, perplexed smile. I see, but I don't understand. I hate that you feel this way. What way is that?
I wish you'd tell me. because I don't know what to feel. I don't know what's real.
What do you mean?
I'm confused. Instead of feeling happy for you or him, I just wonder, how can this be?
Her eyes filled and her lips pressed together for a moment, trying to remain in control.
My best, happiest memories, the ones that keep me from drowning, are the ones when you made Jonah happy. How you loved him. How he was your everything. Was that true? Or am I a silly old lady clinging to nothing?
God, Beverly, I loved Jonah with all I had. It was real. Every moment was real.
But now you feel the same for Theo?
She shook her head.
I don't see how that's possible. I feel dirty for asking this, but I need to know, Casey. If Jonah were to walk through that door right now, what would you do?
I can't answer that, Beverly, I said softly. Because Jonah can't walk through that door. Beverly wilted in her chair, staring at me with wide, frightened eyes.
I know that, but...
But you don't feel it yet, I said softly.
I know. I was the same. For months after Jonah died, I cried for him to come back. I pleaded and screamed and prayed and hoped and nearly drank myself to death, begging for him to come back. I wanted so badly to believe on some level it was possible because the alternative was too horrible to contemplate. I jumped at knocks on my door. I flinched when my phone rang. I searched faces in the crowd when I walked and tricked myself into thinking. Sometimes, Jonah was standing right beside me. All I had to do was turn my head and look. Beverly nodded. I do that too. Every day. But he's never there.
No, I said. He's not. The doors never opened. The phone never rang with him on the other end. Eventually, I stopped expecting it. It wasn't a switch that flipped. It was a slow, agonizing journey to the moment I realized he was never coming back. Accepted it. And once I accepted he was gone, I was free. Not free of the love we had. I'll carry that with me forever. I'll love him forever. But free to start again. A new chapter.
With Theo, she said. How?
I don't know, I said. Slowly, over 1,500 miles and 1,000 phone calls. Neither expected it. Neither pursued it. I had so many dark days when I thought I'd never love again. But Jonah told me I would. And I have. I just never thought it would be Teddy, I smiled. Only now, I think it couldn't have been anyone but him. I pushed off the couch and knelt in front of her, took her shaking hands in mine. I'm the luckiest woman in the world to have known the love of two extraordinary men. And I hope Theo's happiness can bring you the same joy as Jonah's did. He's your son, too. and I love him. It's different. But then again, I'm different for knowing Jonah. He showed me what it meant to love someone with your entire being. Beverly raised her head. And you love Theo? I do, I said. I'm completely and utterly in love with Theo. He loves me, and I swallowed hard. We're going to have a baby. She sat back in her chair, staring. We didn't plan for that either, but it happened. We're both so happy about it, and I hope... Tears welled in my eyes and spilled over. I hope you can be too. Beverly stared a moment more, then clapped her hands to her chest and began to laugh. Big, shaking laughs with tears streaming down her cheeks. She wagged her finger at me, then leaned forward and cupped my face in her hand. Oh, sweetheart. Sweet girl, yes, of course I'm happy. It's the most wonderful thing I've ever heard. She gathered me to her and held me tight, crying softly, stroking my hair in a motherly caress I hadn't felt in years. A small hope caught flame and flickered in my heart. My mom might think so too.
Chapter 42. Theo. Dina texted me. I haven't had a pastrami on rye from Sully's in ages. Meet me there at noon? I nudged Casey, who was still bundled up in my bed, sleeping. Dina wants to meet at Sully's for lunch.
Sully's?
It's a pool hall we used to hang out at in college. They have killer sandwiches. Their pastrami on rye.
Stop, I can't even, Casey said. I'm so tired for no reason, and if you say pastrami one more time, I'm going to hurl. But you go. Enjoy.
I noticed a little smile over her lips as I bent to kiss her goodbye. It was a sleepy Sunday afternoon, and the pool hall was almost empty. A jukebox played Johnny Cash, while half a dozen patrons nursed beers at the bar or shot pool. I found an empty table and took a few shots while waiting for Dina. I lined up a shot, hunched over, moving the stick between my fingers, when someone took hold of it behind me.
The hell?
I turned around. I got a text from Dina, Oscar said, eyeing me darkly. Said she was craving a pastrami sandwich. I got the same text, I said. Your wife's a mastermind. Oscar made a sound that might have been a laugh. You rack, I'll break? Sure. We played a game of eight ball, not saying a word but to call our shots, settling into being around each other again after weeks of silence. Haven't been here in a while, Oscar said toward the end of the game. He twisted a blue cube of chalk over the tip of his cue stick. Since UNLV, right? Before Jonah went to Carnegie. Sounds right, I said. Beer? Why not? I signaled the bartender for two, while Oscar bent over the table, lined up his shot, his cue sliding back and forth in the cleft of his thumb. He lanced the stick forward and sunk the yellow two with a powerful crack. Nice shot, I said. You remember that one night? Oscar said, lining up his next shot. Jonah hit the cue ball so hard on his eight-ball shot, it jumped the next table and sank their eight. He chuckled. That was fucking epic. Then he said it counted because he called it, I said, laughing. Yeah, he did. Oscar eyed his next shot, then his eyes flickered to me. He backed off the table with a sigh. I'm sorry, man. All that shit I said to you. It was uncalled for. I felt a knot of tension ease in my gut. It's cool. I know why you said it. For Jonah, he said. I didn't know Casey all that well, except to see her with him. In my mind, she was it. She was there for him. I know it's unfair to her and you, but he was so fucking happy, you know? Oscar looked at me. But now you're so fucking happy. He shot me his signature smile. It's almost embarrassing. That's so? I'd be an asshole to stay pissed, right? The biggest. Oscar snorted a laugh and came around the table. We half-hugged, half-clapped each other on the back. I love you, man, Oscar said. You too, I said, taking a seat at one of the small round tables against the wall. He went back to the table, eyed the eight ball near the right corner pocket. The white cue was in the middle of the table, a clear, easy shot. I'm going to sink this little bastard for the win. So we're good, man? I asked. Oscar leaned over the table, the cue resting on the bridge of his hand. Yeah, we're good. He started to take his shot. You sure about that? I said loudly. He shot me a look. I said I was. You don't believe me? I believe you. Then shut up and let me take this shot. He drew back the cue stick, and just as he let it fly, I said, Casey's pregnant. The stick scraped along the felt and knocked the cue ball sideways, straight into the side pocket. Scratch, I said, and sipped my beer to hide my smile. That's game. Oscar's eyes widened in shock. Then, to my utter amazement, they began to shine with tears. Whoa, hey, don't get all soft on me, I said, tossing a cocktail napkin at him. You bastard, he said, wiping his eyes and then laughing. You want to know if I'm sure? Now I know I'm sure. I'm so fucking happy for you, I'm crying. I had to blink my damn eyes to keep from doing the same. Thanks, man. He sank into the chair across from me at the table. How far along is she? Not very. 6 weeks, maybe. She has an appointment with a doc in a few days. Oscar shook his head, whistled low through his teeth. Do your parents know? Mom's happy. She wasn't thrilled about Casey and I either, but I think this news helped her accept we're for real. What about your dad? I shrugged. Different spin on his usual bullshit. I bought a new business in a shit market, and now I've got a kid on the way to support. A responsibility my poor career choices are going to fuck up, and I won't be able to support my family. I shook my head. Holy shit. My family. Oscar laughed. Shit just got real. It keeps getting realer by the minute. You can't worry about what your dad thinks. He might come around, he might not. He might need to hold his grandkid in his arms for a kick in the ass. Maybe. Oh my Christ, the look on your face, Oscar said, shaking his head. Pitiful. Damn, man, I've never seen you like this. You are so incredibly, amazingly, 100% whipped. I saw how whipped you are over Dina, and I got jealous. Oscar tossed his head back, laughing. He clinked his beer bottle to mine. Welcome to the club. I came back to my place, thinking that the smile on my face must be permanent. I turned the key on the lock, and the smile widened, knowing that Casey was inside. She sat on the couch, her back to me, though I saw her cell phone sitting limp in her hand. "Hey, babe," I said, moving to sit beside her. "You okay?"
"Not really,"
she said, her voice thick with tears. "Hey." Gently, I turned her to face me, brushed the hair from her eyes. "What is it?"
"I want to see my parents."
"Okay," I said slowly.
"I wasn't going to talk to them ever again. I was done. But now that we're going to have a baby, I feel like it's one more chance to try. To have me in their life. And you, and their grandchild."
She leaned into me, and I wrapped my arm around her. "You sure?" I asked.
"No. Part of me thinks it's the worst idea in the world. But the other half can't imagine not telling them. Going years and years with them never knowing their grandparents?"
She shook her head.
"It doesn't seem right."
"They probably wouldn't give a shit about that either." She sniffed and sat up, her luminous eyes full of hope and fear in equal parts.
"Your mom was so wonderful about it. She treated me like I was her own daughter, and I want that from my own mom and dad. I have to do this, the final time. If they still don't want me with a grandchild on the way, then that's it."
She exhaled heavily, wilting.
"Am I insane risking this again?"
I didn't know how to answer. She wasn't insane, but the last thing I wanted was for her to be hurt. I wanted to protect her from another rejection by her asshole of a father. "But she's trying," I thought, holding her tight. "She's stepping up one more time, laying her chips on the table, just like she did with me after Jonah." I wiped her tears with the back of my fingers. "It's fucking brave. If they still turn their backs, then it's their loss, and fuck them forever." Casey sniffled and laughed a little.
"Promise you won't punch my dad out if he turns out to be a dick."
"I'll do my best."
"I love you, Teddy," she murmured against my chest. "I'll be proud to introduce you to them. I love this baby and this life we're making. I want my parents to be a part of it."
"Me too, Case," I said, kissing the top of her head. "More than anything, I want that for you."
Chapter 43, Theo. We flew to San Diego the following afternoon, rented a car, and drove out to Mission Hills, where the Dawsons lived.
"That one,"
she said, releasing the death grip on my hand to point to a blue two-story with white trim. A green Subaru was parked in the drive.
"Déjà vu," Casey murmured.
"This is what Jonah and I did when we came here. We staked out the place from our rental car, watched them leave the house to go out."
"You didn't stop them?"
She shook her head, her eyes on the house. "They looked too happy. I didn't want to ruin it. We stayed in the car and they drove away."
"They never met him," I said.
She shook her head, smiling sadly.
"I regretted that," she said. "Now I think it makes sense. I think maybe Jonah and I didn't get out of the car that day because he and I, we had a beautiful little pocket of time, a handful of months, and that's all. But you, Teddy, you're the man I'm going to introduce to my parents. You're my forever. That's why we're going to get out of the car today."
I held her gaze a moment, then surged across the seat to hold her face and kiss her.
"I love how brave you are," I whispered against her lips.
"Brave? Look at this."
She held up her shaking hands. whenever you're ready. You tell me when. I felt her body expand and contract in a deep sigh.
It's now or never.
We exited the car, but she got no further than shutting her door.
God,
she whispered.
What if they don't accept me?
My heart cracked a little at that. Then it's their loss, baby. Okay? She nodded and mustered a smile. We walked to the front door, Casey holding tight to my hand. She reached out for the doorbell, squinched her eyes shut, and pushed. From inside, the bell rang, and she inched closer to me. Footsteps, a lock turning, and then a woman in her mid-60s opened the door. Brown hair, streaked with gray, touched her shoulders and cut across her forehead. Her lips held a polite, answering the front door smile for the space of one heartbeat, before recognition dawned in her gray eyes. And her smile fell off like a mask, leaving naked shock and even a twinge of fear. Not joy, not surprise, not love. Damn you, I thought, my heart cracking again. Casey's hand went slack in mine, and I watched my brave girl force a smile through the pain. Hi, Mom.
Chapter 44. Casey. I counted the seconds between my "Hi, Mom," and my mother's reply. I got to 8 before she blinked, as if coming out of a trance. Her hand clutched the buttons on her cardigan. I wanted both of her hands to reach for me and hold me like she did when I was a kid and my dad wasn't around to see. I wanted to fly at her and hug her and breathe her in. "Cassie," she whispered. For a split second, her eyes filled and a shocked smile tugged at her lips. My hopes soared, and then she gave herself a little shake, composing herself. "What are you doing here?" "What am I?" I repeated dumbly, the hope draining out of me. "I'm your daughter. That's what I'm doing here." I felt Theo's hand give mine a squeeze, and I felt more solid, more present. "Stay here." "It's been a long time, Mom. I'm here to visit you and Dad. This is my boyfriend, Theo. Theo, this is Linda, my mom." Mom's eyes darted to Theo beside me in his usual dark t-shirt and jeans. She took in his muscles, his tattoos, the unshaven stubble of his beard. And I saw her hand clench tighter on her sweater. "Nice to meet you, Mrs. Dawson," Theo said, his tone flat and dry as the desert. He didn't extend his hand to shake. Maybe guessing correctly, my mother wouldn't take it. "Can we come in?" I asked, hating that I had to ask. Mom glanced over her shoulder and back. "Now? I don't know." I clenched my teeth together so hard I thought they'd shatter. Inhaled through my nose to calm myself, to suck courage and steadiness out of the salty air. "Mom," I said, "I haven't seen you or Daddy in almost 7 years. You stopped returning my calls almost a year ago. I need to see you. You're my parents, and I'm your daughter. I am your child." My voice started to crack, and I took a steadying breath. My mom had been doing everything my dad told her to for 24 years. Now, she was going to listen to me. "You're going to let me in, and we're going to talk for a little bit," You and me and Theo and Daddy. Right now. My mom stared at me for a moment more, and then, with jerky, nervous movements, opened the door wider and stepped aside to let us in. Theo gave my hand another squeeze, and I glanced up to see pride in his eyes. I felt bolstered by that one look. It gave me the courage to step inside my childhood home for the first time in 7 years. The memories assaulted me from all fronts, carried on currents of smells and sounds. Warm cinnamon, my father's cologne, the little baskets of potpourri my mother kept in every room. The furniture was unchanged. The wallpaper in the front entry was the same white with tiny blue flowers. And I could still see the pencil marks where my mom measured my height as I grew. Late afternoon sunlight streamed in from the large bay window in the dining room to slant across the old walnut dining table. I used to do homework there, I murmured. I was a good student, wasn't I, Mom? Yes, you were, she said in her flighty voice, leading us into the living room. All A's. We shared a look, and I swear I saw a little crack in whatever armor she thought she needed to wear against me. Is Daddy here? I asked, my throat going dry. He's in the den, she said, and glanced at Theo. Cassie, it's Casey, Mom, I said. I haven't been Cassie since I was 16 years old. She bobbed her head. Casey. Your father. His voice called behind me.
Who's here?
I took shelter against Theo's strong body as my heart plummeted to my knees. Daddy. Tears sprang to my eyes as I turned around. My father looked much the same as he had when Jonah and I had spied him from across the street. Tall, a little stooped, with a protruding belly on a thin frame and a full head of silver hair. His eyes were the same blue as mine. They fixed on me. Then Theo, widening in shock for only a moment. Jim Dawson was never one to get caught off guard. He put his expression in neutral and crossed his arms over his button-down shirt. Hi, Daddy, I said, my voice a breathy flutter. It's good to see you.
Sure,
he said, as if I'd asked a question. He turned his icy stare to Theo.
Who's this?
Again, Theo didn't extend his hand, his stare hard.
Theo Fletcher, he said. I'm Casey's boyfriend.
He made boyfriend sound like a warning. I mustered my courage again. Can we sit down, Daddy? There's something we'd like to tell both of you.
You want money?
My father said.
Because I can tell you right now.
We don't want money, I said. Please, Daddy. It's been 7 years. Can we just sit and talk for a minute? My father pondered this, and I searched his face for any sign of warmth or affection. Regret or guilt? But if he felt anything at all besides cold disdain, he kept it locked tight.
Fine,
he said finally.
But it can't be long. I have work to do.
Like a hostess at the world's most awkward dinner party, my mother led us to the living room. My dad took the couch, sitting right in the middle, precluding anyone from sitting beside him. That left only two high-backed chairs for the remaining three of us. Oh, Mom said, glancing around, almost panicked. I'll get a chair from the dining room.
I'll stand,
Theo said, and took up a position behind my chair, arms crossed like a sentry or bodyguard. My mother sat down, folding her hands tightly in her lap. My father sat leaning back, his hands resting on his thighs, his chin drawn back and mouth pulled down, waiting. The moment unfurled before me, probably my last chance for any hope of reconciliation. Behind me, Theo shifted, reminding me he was there, that he would always be there for me. I sucked in a breath. A lot has happened over these last years, since we last saw each other. And I'm not going to lie, I had some really rough times. Times when I needed you, both of you. My mother sat perfectly still, but her eyes closed for a moment, as if pained. But my father pursed his lips, seemed to harden further right before my eyes.
"You should have thought about that before you broke the rules of the house," he said.
Theo's hand touched my back. I swallowed hard and said, "I think, Daddy, I've paid for that mistake 1,000 times over. Those weeks of being homeless after Chet ditched me came back. The months and years of scraping by with Lola. Then the blurry, alcohol haze of countless small shows we played with Rapid Confession, trying to get a leg up. Throwing all that in his face would get me nowhere. If we had a chance, it was this moment, right now. I've moved past all that, I said. I learned to stand on my own 2 feet. I have a successful career as a musician. Not with a band, but on my own. And Theo... I raised my hand and he slipped his into it. Theo's a tattoo artist and owns his own business. We're going to live in Las Vegas. And we're starting a family. My mother's head shot up and she gasped.
You're going to have a baby?
Tears sprung to my eyes at the words. They suffused me with joy every time I heard them spoken aloud. Joy that could spill into this living room, flood this house, and break down the walls. It could. It had to. How could there still be animosity or regret in the face of a child on the way? Yeah, Mom, I said. My hand tightened around Theo's. We're going to have a baby. And that's why I'm here. We want you to be a part of our lives. And this baby's life. This is your grandchild. I don't care about anything that's come before. I want to start over, okay? A new start as a family. Tears filled my mother's eyes, and she started to nod. Emotion rose up in my chest and throat as she leaned forward in her chair, her hand over her heart. Hope lighting her eyes in a way I'd never seen before. "Oh, Cassie," she whispered. Her words floated in the still air like bubbles. And my father popped them, one by one.
"A musician and a tattooist," he said. "And you think these are good, steady careers by which to raise a child?"
"I'm signed with a label, Daddy," I said slowly, carefully holding on to the happiness. "I'm not out playing little clubs for $50 a pop. Not anymore. And Teddy is an artist. He's been featured in..."
"The music industry is full of drugs," my father said with a wave of his hand. "And criminals get tattoos. That's a fact. You want to bring those kinds of elements around your child?"
"It's not like that.
You know what I see?" my father asked. "I see nothing's changed. Not one damn thing. You've been acting the rebel your whole life. Playing a rock star, fooling around with the same kinds of men."
"That's not true. Teddy is..."
"And now you come here, telling me you got knocked up by a tattooed deviant, He gestured to Theo. And I'm supposed to be overjoyed about this? I reeled as if I'd been slapped. Theo made a low noise in his chest. The heat of his rising anger radiated in the fingers clenching mine. I took hold of it, and for the first time in my life, I hit back. Apologize, I said in a low voice I hardly recognized. My father blinked.
Are you speaking to me?
You better goddamn apologize, I said, my voice rising. A deviant? He's twice the man you are. You're the deviant. You're a heartless son of a bitch who kicked a 17-year-old girl out of the house because you only see what you want to see. If things don't look right, if people don't look right, you get rid of them. But I'm still here, Dad. I'm right here. I'm right here. My father stared a moment, then rose off the couch.
This visit is over.
I shot to my feet. What is wrong with you? I cried. Why are you like this? What did I ever do to you? I turned to my mother, crying now. And you? Why are you just sitting there, Mom? Say something. She quailed, her eyes darting between my father and me. Say something, I cried. Theo moved to stand behind me as I looked from one parent to the other. Tell me to leave again, Dad, I said. Go ahead. You'll never see me again, I promise. But I want to hear you say it. My father held my eyes for a moment, and I stared back, unflinching, waiting, hoping. Finally, he shook his head, muttered something under his breath, and walked out. I exhaled, staring at the empty space where he'd been. All right, then, I said. My head swiveled numbly to my mother. Goodbye, Mom, I said, my voice a whisper. Calmly, with Theo's arm around me, I walked out of my childhood home for the last time.
Chapter 45, Theo. I made it as far as the front porch. Fuck this, I muttered, turning back around to push open the front door. Casey's mother gave a little cry as I stormed past her. Down the last part of the house, I saw Casey's bastard of a father walk down. I spied him in a chair in what looked like a den. I shoved the door open so hard it slammed against the wall and bounced back. Casey's father sprang out of his chair.
I'll call the police.
I bet you would, I said. My blood pounded in my ears, and adrenaline coursed through my veins like liquid fire. You would call the cops on your own daughter. Her father shook his head, as if I were telling him a story he'd heard 100 times before.
Young man, get out of my house. I don't have the time or inclination for this nonsense.
Nonsense, I said.
Your only daughter's happiness is nonsense to you.
I shook my head. You have no idea what you're doing, what you're throwing away. And the truly insane part is, she loves you. She's here. She's trying. And you don't give a shit.
Casey's father stared back, unflinching. Are you done?
No, I'm not, I said. I'm going to marry her. She'll have a wedding you won't see. Someone else is going to walk her down the aisle because you've got your head shoved too far up your ass to do it yourself. We're going to have a child you'll never meet,
and we'll have a life you'll never be a part of because you chose not to. But fuck it. She doesn't need you. She didn't come here to beg for your shitty kind of love. I'll take care of her. You don't have to do a goddamn thing. Not that you ever did. I'll love her enough. I'll love her enough she'll never want for it. I'll spend my entire life loving her and making her happy. And she will be happy. Maybe she has to live with the fact you're a cold-blooded son of a bitch, but at least her conscience is clear. Can't say the same for you.
I spun around and nearly bumped into Casey's mother, her face stricken, her hands at her throat. I wanted to spit fire at her, too, but she looked like she would fall over at the slightest push. I shook my head, disgusted at her silence, and strode out. Casey was waiting for me on the front stoop.
I've never heard anyone tell my dad he has his head shoved up his ass before.
I stopped short. The den windows lead off the side of the house, she said.
I heard everything.
But you kept your promise and didn't punch him in the face. Barely. I helped her to her feet. I'm sorry, Case. It probably won't do any good, but I had to tell him.
Maybe not. But it was everything I needed to hear, or else I was going to lose it right here on the porch.
She ringed her arms around my neck.
Everything I needed to hear.
Oh, shit. She searched my eyes a minute, then tucked her head under my chin, as she'd done when we danced at Oscar and Dina's wedding.
Are you proposing to me, Teddy?
My old instincts rose in me, warning me to shut the hell up, to mutter away how I felt. Instead, I told her the truth. Not here. Not after that. But one day, I will. Because I want nothing more on this fucking earth than for you to be my wife.
You want to marry me?
She sighed, and I felt the tension melt out of her shoulders.
I want to marry you, I whispered against her head. But this isn't a proposal, she said against my chest.
Definitely not.
Then I'm not saying yes.
She raised her head to look at me, the blue of her eyes shining like the purest glass.
Definitely not.
She brushed her lips to mine, saying yes. We walked down to the curb, and I opened the passenger door of the rental car for her. As I shut it and turned, my eye caught Casey's mom standing at the front window. She raised her hand as if to wave, but only rested her fingers on the panes, her gaze trained on the car. She caught me staring, withdrew her hand as if the glass burned her, and let the curtain fall across the glass.
Chapter 46. Casey.
So, let me get this straight, Dina said. We have a wedding and a baby shower to plan.
Teddy did not propose to me, I said, forking a bite of salad. We sat in the crowded mall in the food court after an afternoon of house hunting. He told my dad he was going to marry me, and I overheard. Dina shot me a sly look.
His version of asking your dad for your hand in marriage.
I nodded, laughter welling up in me.
Exactly.
Theo asked for my hand by telling my dad he had his head up his ass.
He's such a traditionalist.
Stop, I managed, waving my hands. My cheeks hurt. I sucked in deep breaths and wiped my eyes.
Oh my God, it was so horrible. It's actually funny.
Dina's eyes grew soft.
Are you okay?
Not really, but I can laugh about it anyway. I gave my head a shake. It's done. They're done with me, but at least I can say I tried.
You did, Dina said. You should be proud of yourself.
I felt the laughter bubble up again. I'm more proud of Teddy for not burning their house down. Dina bent over her plate as we both dissolved into laughter, the kind that keeps going long after you remember what you were laughing for. Oh, shit, I said, wiping my eyes. Okay, belly laughing made me hungry. Either that, or my first real craving just hit. I nodded at the storefront at the end of the food court. If I don't have a Cinnabon right this minute, someone's going to get hurt.
I don't think that's a pregnancy craving so much as a mall craving, Dina said. They pipe the smell of their frosting into the air, I swear.
One sticky, gooey cinnamon roll later, Dina and I returned to her car in the outdoor parking lot. Do you want to... My words choked off in a small cry as a blinding, razor-sharp pain exploded in my lower belly. A stab through my left side, stealing my breath and bending me over. The pain spread like wildfire around my middle, down my thigh, and around my back. I would have screamed at the agony, but I didn't have the air. The ground rose up toward me as I crumpled down, feeling as if I were being ripped in two. A flush of wet warmth spread between my legs, down my jeans. Oh, God, no. Casey? Casey! Dina raced toward me.
What's happening?
I sucked in air. I can't. Dina and the entire world faded as my vision grayed. And then went black.
Chapter 47. Theo. I locked up the shop and stared at the front door a moment. It was mine. I'd been so busy finalizing the details, I hadn't the time to process it. I owned this place. It all belonged to me, including the responsibilities. If a pipe burst, it was my problem. If the electrical blew a fuse, it was my job to fix it. Inventory, advertising, employee payroll, taxes. All of it. Holy fucking shit. This is what you signed up for, I thought, and gave a little chuckle. I'd always wanted this, but I always thought I'd be doing it alone. Instead, I had an amazing woman standing beside me, believing in me. And she's going to have a baby. I'm going to be a father. Holy goddamn fucking shit. I stood there, smiling like a dope on the sidewalk in front of my own place. My entire life was opening up, expanding out. We had a baby to prepare for. The grand opening of the shop, Casey's music career. We were building a life together, and it was fucking better than anything I had ever hoped for myself. I need to get a ring. Even though my nervous hands nearly dropped the keys, my dopey grin wouldn't quit. A ring? What kind of ring? What did she like? What could I afford? And how should I propose? I sucked at romance. Couldn't I just propose in bed? Was that allowed? My cell rang as I climbed into the truck, Dina's number on the display. She was out with Casey today, scoping potential houses for rent and hitting the mall for some shopping. What's up, Dina?
Theo, listen to me, she said.
Her tone was calm, but her voice trembled at the edges.
I'm at Sunrise Hospital with Casey.
What happened? My blood felt like gasoline someone had set a match to.
What happened, Is she okay? Was there an accident?
Oh my God, no. This isn't happening. Not again. I can't do this again.
We were coming out of the parking lot, and she doubled over in pain. I don't know what happened. They haven't told me any details yet. You need to come. Just get here quick, but drive safely.
I dropped the phone on the passenger seat and threw the truck into drive. It took every bit of my willpower to not floor it, to not run red lights. And it felt like I hit every goddamn one.
Hold on, baby. I'm coming. I screeched into the parking lot in front of the emergency room, parked, and ran for the entrance, a refrain in my head pounding along with my steps. Not again, not again, not again. I hated Sunrise Hospital. I was here when Jonah was flown in from a hospital in Austin, Texas, after the frantic departure out of Venezuela. I lived here when he was waiting for a transplant. I camped out in his room for the early biopsies. I was on a first-name basis with the staff in the cardiac unit. The last time I was here was when Jonah slipped away. I stepped inside the sliding glass doors and pressed my hand to the wall, suddenly dizzy. Not again. I can't do this again. I'm tapped out. I forced myself to breathe and pushed off the wall. I strode to the front desk reception, where a woman sat typing at a computer. Casey Dawson, I said, my voice sounding strangled. My goddamn heart was pounding my throat. She came in a little while ago. The nurse pecked lazily at her keyboard, as if the fate of the fucking universe wasn't hanging in the balance. Theo. I whirled around. Dina was there, her dark eyes bright with fear. I got to her in three long steps, and she rose to meet me, taking my hands in hers. She's in emergency surgery. I felt lightheaded and cold all over. What for? Is she all right? Tell me she's all right.
Dina shook her head.
I don't know how she is, but sit down, okay? I need you to sit down.
I sank into a chair.
What do you think it is? I said,
my eyes fixed on Dina's, glaring at her hard, as if I could will her to say it was nothing. This was only a nightmare, and I just needed to wake up.
Not again. God, please not again. I can't lose her, too. I can't.
She was bleeding in the parking lot, Dina said. The pain was enough to make her pass out.
Theo, I don't...
She was bleeding? I sat in silence for a moment, trying to process this. Dina gripped my hand harder.
I don't know what to say, Theo. I'm sorry. I'm still kind of in shock.
I sat back in the